Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. Today we'd like to thank Catherine W., Hans G., Anthony M., David G., and Gino N. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for us to continue Let's Talk and all the shows at sqpn.com. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 32, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Father Corey Stika, welcome back to Let's Talk. We hope you had a good Christmas break. Of course, we definitely did. It was a very busy season. So instead of a regular episode, you had my little greeting, which I hope everyone did and is still having a very good Christmas season. Of course, we are still in the middle or towards the end of Christmas season by the time you hear this. But I hope you had a good Christmas day and a good Christmas season so far. We got a couple of returning guests with us here for Let's Talk. First, we've got Mike Creevy in Pennsylvania. How's it going, Mike?
It's not too bad. It's kind of warm today here.
Warm. How do you define warm in Pennsylvania in winter?
Well, 47 or 48 right now, actually.
That's so. Not bad, actually. That sounds pretty good.
It's pretty sunny, too.
Not quite that warm out here in Montana. Hey, by the way, that sun, can you send that this way? I think we saw it a little bit yesterday. We haven't seen it in a while otherwise.
Yep.
And then
I think we just got it from you guys. So.
Yeah, exactly. You took it from us and just sent us the clouds. No.
Yep.
And then from Ohio, we got Father Michael. How's it going, Father Michael?
Well, it's cold here, and I think the sun has left here as well. So it's heading that way. And the cold is heading your way, Mike.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Of course, this winter, you know, like here, it's my little thermometer showing 23 degrees. So for Montana standards in, you know, the end of December, beginning of January, that's called nice.
It's not too bad. Yeah. Right.
We don't complain about it too much.
It's supposed to be cold. It's winter.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. If we didn't want cold, we'd live in places like Florida or Arizona or something like
that's
that.
Right.
We just have to deal with the summers then.
We had a really pretty snowstorm like right before Thanksgiving, and then we've had nothing but rain, you know, or somewhat mild days since. So I don't know. It's strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little different weather. We're kind of glad this year is much better of a winter than last year was. You know, we've had a little bit of snow. There's a little bit of snow on the ground, not much, but last year, this time we already had probably a good 8 inches of snow that, by the way, didn't melt until like May.
Then it doesn't go away. Yeah,
we had our first really good snowstorm right before Christmas last year, and it didn't melt. We couldn't get we've got an outdoor nativity set, like one of those wooden shadow nativity sets. We couldn't get it out, or metal, but we couldn't get it out until after Easter.
Oh my gosh.
We lost the sheep. The sheep was buried. So we're pretty happy about this winter right now. We're one of the few people that didn't want a white Christmas, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But of course,
ours was mostly wet. I'm ready for some snow here.
Yeah. A little bit of snow is not bad. When you have to pull out the snow blower every other day, that's not so much fun.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, yeah, balance. Yeah, moderation.
Exactly. So, well, of course, you know, last week was Christmas. Now this week, and probably the day that this is going to be released, is New Year. So happy New Year to everyone. I hope you have, you know, welcome to 2019. You know, a lot of times with New Year, of course, everybody says, oh, this is a good time to start something new. And of course, we have those wonderful New Year's resolutions. And I don't know if either of you started to think about your New Year's resolutions yet. Of course, we got a couple of days again as we record this. We record this on Saturday before. But either you thought about what you want to do for your 2019 resolutions yet.
I have to confess, I didn't give it real thought until I found out the topic of this, podcast today was going to be New Year's resolutions. That definitely pushed me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how about you, Mike?
You know, I'm still working on it, like you said, because we have the benefit of recording this, you know, back in time from everyone else's perspective when they're hearing this. So who knows where I'll be in a few days on it. But it's part of the tradition for me, whatever, just to kind of think about it through Christmas. And I haven't arrived at anything too concrete yet, but I've got a couple ideas. So,
yeah, I'm actually, for me, one thing I did back in June, of course, those who listen to the podcast know about this, is I've been doing much more working out, watching what I eat. Well, since Thanksgiving, and then I had a couple of course, again, you know, those who are listening, I had a couple of weeks where I was kind of sick, and then Christmas and goodies. And yeah, that's kind of gone by the wayside. So for me, it's just going to be recommitting back to that, getting back there to watching my eating, you know. Not so much like I don't do any of the like the keto diet, you know, the paleo diets or anything mm-hmm. like that. Just, you know, more being more conscious about what I eat, how much I eat, you know, not so much of the fried foods, not so much of the potato right. chips, things like that. But getting back to eating healthier, better portions, and then getting exercising again, you know, yeah. working out. You know, yeah. I did the Couch to 5K program, which worked great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kept with it and I got to the point where before the roads got icy, I was able to go out and run, you know, jog really yeah. about 3.5 miles, you know, yeah. really built up to that. And so I want to get back to working out so I can keep that up, you know, so that when the roads get right. nice again in the spring, mm-hmm. I can get back out there.
I tease my wife about the near occasion of sin with baking goods because she and her friend Abby, Christine and Abby get together every year somewhere around Christmas, you know, because it just works during the holidays, and they make they have this just insane baking day. Uh-oh. And so they baked, I think they did like 400 some different cookies and fudge and all sorts of things. So it's sitting in the kitchen, you know, like all over the place. So that's a little yes. tempting.
So. I don't know about you, Father Corey, but I know our rectory kitchen is just, it's swamped yeah. right now because the people of God are very generous and it's very dangerous.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, very, very much so. And I've kind of made it known as I love your cookies. I love your goodies. I want, you know, please bring me some, but bring me small portions. Don't bring me, you know, because I'd have parishioners, they'd come with, you know, these dinner plates just heaped with cookies and bars and fudges and treats. And it's just like, oh, that I know exactly where that's going. It's yep. it's going to waste. And I don't mean waste as in thrown in the trash.
I think the closest experience I had with that was people's care packages when I was in the Army and we were deployed.
Oh, sure.
And again, everybody's generosity.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, yeah, we had a whole room filled with stuff, you know, and some of it was extra handy, like some of the personal care items. But after a while, I was like, yeah. I don't need 50 toothbrushes either. You
yeah.
know?
yeah. That's.
But we found ways to give it to people who could need it. So, yeah.
yeah, exactly. No, it's that's always kind of a funny issue about this time of year because everybody gets these goodies here and we enjoy them. We love them. You know, we look forward to them. But we also know that there's the scale tends to creep up when that happens, too, you know. But then again, you know, I think for most of us, we don't have the goodies around throughout the year either. You know, it's just right. this time of year that we get them. It'd be something else if we're constantly buying the, you know, the bags of cookies from the grocery store right. every week, you know, yeah. stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know, of course, what are some common resolutions that you hear people do that maybe they actually stick to, you know, we always think in resolutions where, oh yeah, you're going to do it for about 2 weeks and then drop off. But, you know, sometimes there are actually resolutions people do that they actually stick with, you know, what are some of the ones that in the past, maybe that you've done that have actually become a habit for you? I know I kind of threw that at you, but to think about.
That silence may be a good answer.
Yeah.
I know I think exercise is a popular one. I know for me, just this idea of, all right, this year, even though it's winter, I'm gonna do something mm-hmm. and get it going and join a gym or whatever. But yeah, I think that energy that comes with doing it at the beginning of the year is great. But like you said, with getting back into eating healthier, watching what you eat, it just takes that starting again and again. I think that's where yeah. most people fall off. It's like they fail. Maybe they don't do it for more than a couple weeks, and that's the end of it.
Right, right.
Well, and that's, I think, of the, I've tried to find the statistic earlier, and I forget what it is. I heard it a few weeks ago, but the specific statistic that a lot of the gyms use, apparently, to kind of just, you know, estimate how many people they're still going to have coming to the gym in, like, February. I think it's, like, right. mid-February, or by Valentine's Day. There's, like, this metric, I guess, of, like,
right.
how much of a drop-off they see every year from January to, yeah. like, mid-February. I know, maybe we can get more into the ones we haven't done so well with in a little bit
sure.
here, but ones that have worked out, it's a little bit of a mixed bag, and I might share more about it later. But I started a couple years ago. I don't know where it came from. I just got this idea of, I was thinking numbers and the Catholic faith. You know, mm-hmm. they go hand in hand. A lot of, you know, we have lists. You know, we have those numbers that are very important, like 9 for novenas. 40 is a big number, of course. And somewhere along the line, I was thinking about how awful I do at Lent so very frequently, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, what if I could constantly do like 40-day things of some kind back to back and make like sure. build some kind of habit of that. And it's funny, it's not like difficult math, but I'm not a big math guy. And as I'm sitting mm-hmm. there, it's starting to click. I'm like, wait a minute. There's 9 groups of 40 if you break the days of the yeah. year down, plus a few at the end, you know, yep. plus just 5 at the end. So I started this thing of like, I don't really know what to call them. I call them novenas of 40.
Hmm.
I'm actually writing about this right now because I want to expand it a little bit. And, you know, it's just a way to, and then I still do Lent in there too. It's kind right. of on top of that then. But, you know, just that pattern of those 40 days. And some years are better than others. Some of those 40-day periods are better than others, but I've just really liked it. I've liked the notion of splitting it up that way, and I've been doing that for a couple of years now. That's one thing.
No, that's a good thought, because you know, kind of as you mentioned, Father Michael, people don't stick with their resolutions, and that's kind of what I was trying right. in a roundabout way to get to was, you know, we have these resolutions, we do these resolutions every year, we don't really stick to them. But the point is that when you have a resolution for anything, whether it is prayer or exercise or eating healthier or, you know, doing something for others or whatever it might be, we have to get back on our horse. We have to go back and recommit, and we're going to fall off. We're going to slack off. We need to, you know. And so I like that idea of having maybe doing a resolution that, you know what, this is going to slack off, but here's a point where then I can restart, right. you know, have a checkpoint, mm-hmm. if you will, you know, like the old yeah. video games, like if you used to play the racing video games, they always had yeah. the checkpoints yeah. as you're going along, you know, give you more time. Well, your checkpoints as you're going through your mm-hmm. your resolutions. So I like that idea. You know, another one would be, there's the Novena app that you can put on your phone,
yeah.
where it's got different, you know, there's always a constant, there's all these novenas throughout the year. And so you finish one novena, or even while you're finishing one novena, you can start another one. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you drop off on one novena, there's another novena that's showing up here pretty quick. You know, so I kind of like that idea. Well, we can go to that. You know, you talk about, you know, resolutions that people don't follow through. And you mentioned gyms. I do think it's funny. I'd heard some similar statistic in that most gyms, at least in major cities, and, you know, most of these public gyms, they make most of their money by February. That's where they operate off of, is New Year's resolution money. And everything else yep. beyond that is gravy. You know, yeah. at that point, it's all profit, you know, or at least, you know, just their regular operating funds, you know. But they make most of their money in the first month, because you do get these people who they commit to a resolution. They go for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, and then disappear. You know, mm-hmm. and the next year they do it again. So maybe we can kind of switch over to that. What are some resolutions you've done in the past that maybe haven't quite worked out? And, you know, I'll start with this one. I mean, I've made, you know, resolutions to, you know, read the scriptures. I'm going to read the scriptures, you know, do the scriptures for a year, do the catechism for a year, do things like that. And it goes about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then something happens and it disappears. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm guilty of that one, definitely.
Yeah, I always come up with grand plans like that of read the Bible in a year, read the catechism a year. Lots of things where it's like you come up with such a big plan mm-hmm. that once you fail at it, it's so easy to just stop doing it
exactly
for the rest of the year, and it can be exercise.
We gotta freeze. Oh, you froze there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep.
Okay. Just had a little bit of freeze there, but yeah, you know, you make this plan, and all of a sudden, I'll miss a day of reading the Bible, so then, you know, I could do two tomorrow, and then three tomorrow, and four tomorrow, and never mind.
I'm reading this, a great book by a guy named John Acuff called Finish, and I'm only a couple chapters in, but already he's talking about perfectionism and kind of this idea that we always come up with too big of plans, and then we bake it over too big of a time. And his advice is cut everything in half. And so if you're saying, for me, a big vice is Mountain Dew. I'm so addicted to Mountain Dew.
Oh, boy.
Just psychologically and chemically on every level. But to think, well, I just won't drink this for a year, that's too much. And so if you make a small goal, you're much more likely going to hit it, even if it's going to the gym or whatever it is.
That's actually, that reminds me of when I was in college, and I was really kind of starting to grow in my faith a little more deeply, and I had never heard, to my memory, never heard of the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, growing up in a good Catholic family. You know, we just wasn't on our radar.
Right.
And when I found out about it, it was a men's discernment group at our at Catholic University in D.C., and I'll never forget, it was just very wise. One of my friends, he's now a priest in the in Trenton. He was wise enough. He was younger than me too. When everybody, and myself included, was like, "Hey, this night prayer thing is awesome." We did night prayer on like a Wednesday night. Like, guys, dudes, we got to do this every night. We're gonna get together every night and do night prayer. And he's, you know, and everyone's all fired up and very sincere. You know, like he just kind of raises his hand. He goes, "How about every Wednesday?" You know, and we're like, "Oh, come on, let's do it more." But sure enough, like, you know, and there were those Wednesday nights when you were like, "Oh no, it's Wednesday night. I got to go do it." You know, and it was, I learned a lot from that. The idea of like kind of aim small sometimes. So that's the story I thought of with that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where a lot of successful exercise programs are good, where they, you know, yes, you've got this goal. You've got a goal, like again, the couch to 5K. I'm going to be able to jog 5 kilometers, but you start out with, okay, I'm just going to be able to, out of a half an hour, jog for 5 minutes. Doesn't sound like much, but if you're going from a couch, it's a lot.
Right.
It really is. Yeah. It's painful. That first week was painful because I went from basically nothing for exercise, not even really walking, to, okay, I can do this. And then you just focus on, okay, every day, just do a little bit more, little bit more, little bit more. You know, and I think that's the big thing of, oh, I'm going to spend the next year going to the gym. No, how about you just focus on this week I'm going to go to the gym?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's like I'm trying to do some writing projects right now, and I'm doing the same thing because I read somewhere that George Lucas, so I'm a big Star Wars fan. That he set himself to what it was like, I think, like 4 or 5 pages a day or something, like at one point. I forget which script it was in particular, but that was. You know, and then he said most days he would have one page by like 3 or 4 p.m. And then but he has to get the others done before he can. And then he'd put it away, you know, and go do something completely different. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, talk about those like SMART goals. That's, I don't remember the last three, but specific and measurable.
Yeah, specific,
measurable part.
Yeah, achievable.
Yeah,
we've used it too.
Yeah, but I think just like it's so easy to say, well, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to read more. I'm going to pray more. Like, those are really nebulous goals.
Exactly.
But to say, I'll pray night prayer on Wednesday, or I will go for a walk. Like, you can check that off on a calendar.
Yep. I'm going to be a saint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I hope that's our lifelong goal.
Yeah.
But yeah,
good.
How exactly are you going to do that? You know, and it's one of those things, too. Again, you talk about like reading the Bible and you're reading the catechism a year. Having a goal where, no, it's just today I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going, you know, and you can use those catechism year, Bible in a year, things like that are good programs. But I think one mindset I always get caught up in, I think a lot of people do, is if I miss a day, I've got to make it up.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of just saying, OK, well, you know what? I missed it today. Tomorrow, I'm just going to shift it back a day.
Right.
And just do the reading that was yesterday. Do it today. You know, and just kind of go from there. And you know what? Maybe it takes a little longer than a year to do that. Maybe you have a day where you can make up somewhere along the way and get caught up. But don't assume you're going to do that. Because, yeah, if you miss a day or two, then all of a sudden you've got, instead of one chapter of the Bible to read, you've got three. And some of those chapters get pretty lengthy.
Yep.
We let things get in the way all the time.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that that actually was that Martin Luther, apparently, I guess that's from what I heard, had a lot of sort of scrupulosity that he would miss his daily office, you know, for a day or two, and then try to catch up on all of it, you know, to an extreme level, and that was psychologically, you know, difficult for him.
Yeah, and that would be a time when the office was much more complex than it is today. I mean, the Liturgy of the Hours. Is once you learn it, it's pretty simple. I mean, it really is. It's pretty simple and it's relatively short. You know, I think it, kind of a secret from a lot of priests, you know, I think most of us can get the Liturgy Hours for the day knocked out in a half an hour if we're going a decent pace, you know. You know, so making up a day or two like that's not a big deal. But you look at even the breviary from, you know, the Breviarium Romanum from the 60s. Much more complex. You know, you might take you an hour and a half to pray that if you do it all in one session.
Again, all the Psalms every week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can imagine, you know, someone like Martin Luther, if he was scrupulous about that, where, yeah, he'd be sitting there for half the day waking up for like 3 days worth of the office.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, not a good idea.
When you mentioned becoming a saint, I think just that's the goal, not like bragging to the world, I read the Bible in a year.
Right.
I got, like, being healthy is the goal, not being able to say, I perfectly did this. And I think that's what a lot of us get hung up on. Like, think about what you really want to achieve. Yeah. It's not just checking a box.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And, you know, and then of course, there's the parallel with the spiritual life. You know, we're kind of touching on it, but I mean, there really is that parallel with the spiritual life is, you know, the spiritual life is always a constant growth. You know, many of the church fathers pointed out that there is no plateaus in the spiritual life. You're either climbing or you're sliding back, you know. But what happens is you're going to have periods in your spiritual life you're going to slide back. You're going to have points that you're slacking off in your prayers, that you're slacking off in your scripture studies, that you're, you know, slacking off in your spiritual reading and theological reading and all that. Guess what? You can just recommit and start again. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's so much with these New Year's resolutions, not saying, OK, well, I'm going to for my New Year's, I'm going to stop drinking Coke. My caffeine of choice is Coca-Cola, other than coffee, of course. I'm going to stop drinking Coke. I'm just not going to have any more Coke. Oh, darn. I had a couple of Cokes. Well, I guess I just got to go back on to drinking Coke. No, just like, OK, now I'm going to stop drinking Coke again for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and if you fall.
And I think
fall.
I know for me, too, you know, that it wasn't a New Year's resolution, you know, but you know, years ago, I actually, you know, thank God, I'm one of the people who has actually managed to quit smoking.
Oh, wow.
And it's just interesting because I think with any, just the habitual side in us for anything, you know, and I know for, in my case, I know what it feels like from, you know, the way it happens with me, that a lot of times, you know, if you're trying to give something up, and, you know, we do this, obviously this can dovetail to like Lent as well. I don't want to get, you know, too much into that, but same kind of concept, I think, where I find it difficult to just have the absence of the thing rather than something new and good to replace it with, you know, to kind of build that habit around a new sort of scaffolding or have that scaffolding there, rather, as there's a new sort of, you know, building on a new foundation in there. So I think that's a principle I see with myself a lot with New Year's resolutions, whatever it is, you know, that it's, yeah, I want to add something, but sometimes it's good to kind of, you know, kind of shift away from something and put something new in its place.
Right.
I think helps too. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's so much of how we develop our behaviors. It's, you know, it's reward. You can't just have punishment. You have to have reward. You know, you can't punish yourself by getting rid of X or doing know, Y, which is unpleasant, like exercise. And, you know, I'm sorry, when you're starting out, exercise is not pleasant. It's not desirable. It's good for us. We need it. You know, but you also have to have something that's a benefit, that's that kind of rewards you for doing that. You know, one thing I did is I set goals as part of my exercise routine of saying, when I reach this point, I'm going to do this. Right. You know, like, and one of them was as simple as, okay, so I stopped eating junk food. You know, I need healthier foods and things like that. So one of my goals, I can't remember which it was. I think it was actually hitting the 5K mark was I'm going to go to Dairy Queen and I'm going to get one of their flamethrower burgers and French fries and a Blizzard because I love that stuff. You know, yeah, it's a lot of calories. Yeah, it wasn't healthy, but you know what? It was a reward. It was saying, OK, I hit this goal. Now I can reward myself.
Yeah. And I think that goes to the point that the goal isn't to be miserable. Like, we don't exercise so that we'll be sad. We exercise so that we'll feel better and live longer. Yeah. And even these spirit, like fasting during Lent or Advent, the goal isn't because God wants us to be unhappy people. It's so that virtue can grow in there. And so I think it's important to have those, the good things, the rewards and the benefits, keep those in mind.
Yeah, and that's so much of the New Year's resolutions about that.
I think too, like I jotted this down because I didn't want to forget I always forget the Latin of it. But years ago in one of my grad courses at Franciscan, we read Joseph Pieper's book On Hope. Mm. And it was an eschatology class. And it was just, I mean, I know in my own life, if I want to try to keep certainly something like a New Year's resolution in perspective, the more I keep my eternal destiny and perspective, I think it kind of trickles down to other things too, hopefully. And I really found it fascinating in his book, and it's just a little volume. You know, he's very incredible the more I read him, where he talks about that it's just really, it's our human nature to be, you know, status viatoris, you know, this always on the way kind of being, you know, who's always in between, you know, where I was and where I'm going. There's not really ever a just stopping point. Like, we're always moving in some direction. Mm-hmm. And it's like you were just saying, Father, you know, it's not really a plateau. Like, you know, there's rest along the way, but it's not a stopping kind of rest. So,
yeah.
You know, I think I always think of New Year's resolutions as very much more and more. I think certainly it's tied to hope, you know, and maybe whatever the particular thing is, maybe I'm trying to sort of see that as a manifestation in my own life of just a way to practice that theological virtue as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if, like, the year 2019, it's a construct, like, that the year is starting in a couple days for us now. But it's a human thing to make these new starts. And if that's what it takes, I think it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's, of course, it's, you know, funny you talk about 2019, and I'm also a science fiction fan. So obviously, since I'm on Secrets of Doctor Who and Secrets of Star Trek, but you know, we always 2019 was always that's the future. That's also science fictiony. You know, we're gonna have spaceships and flying cars, which I still want my flying car. Back to the Future lied to me.
We're a few years past that too.
I know, even worse.
But hoverboard.
Yeah, the report. They kind of have those sort of, but you know, it's. But yeah, the whole idea of the new year, we could celebrate the new year anytime. You know, the Chinese celebrated a different part of the year. The Jews celebrated a different part of the year. They used a lunar calendar, not even the solar calendar. But it's just marking that we've made another rotation around the sun or revolution around the sun. But it is good to have that way of marking our time and saying, okay, this is a new start. You know, we are starting a new day. We are starting a new year. We are starting, you know, something new. Mm-hmm. But it's always interesting when people complain about change. Well, life is always about change. Life is always change, you know.
Yeah.
Things are constantly changing, whether we like it or not. And, you know, obviously we see that technology wise. You know, 20 years ago, our little smartphones would have been, you know, the size of our desktops because they were that much power. 20 years from now, who knows what computers are going to be like, you know. But just
change. I mean, that's really all that time is for, really. You could argue, you know, in terms of measuring that, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is, yeah.
I like that illustration of the Earth orbiting the sun, that, like, whether you like it or not, we are moving. We're, like, the whole, all of us are on this journey, and it's going to keep going, and we have to decide what to do with it. There's no, there's no, like, break. We don't just, there's no point in life that we stop trying to achieve what we're going for.
Yeah. Yeah, if we stop moving.
I had a friend who gave me advice. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, if we stop moving, we've got some real problems, you know.
Yes.
But
I'm just laughing because I have a friend who gave me it sounds so dumb every time I tell the story, but it was actually I sometimes remember this advice. I was stressed out about something. My friend just put, you know, my friend Brian, he puts his arm around my shoulders and he says, you know, he's like, Mike, he goes, don't forget it. We're just on a big ball flying through space. Mm-hmm. Was the way he put it. because I never expected him to say something like that. It actually like gave me this hilarious sort of like peace in that moment. But I bring that up from time to time. I'll quote him. I was like, there's a lot to be said for that.
It's a good perspective to see the big picture that way. That in God's view and in our place in the universe, all the little things that we freak out about, just let it pass.
They're pretty insignificant. You know, that's you'll see that, you know, that zoom out, you'll sometimes see where you start out with, you know, a person standing on the planet and then zooms back and you can see the town, the community they live in, the town and the state and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you see the Earth and bigger and bigger. And the next thing you know, you're out the galaxy level and, you know, the Earth is like, you know, a speck of a speck. You can barely see our star, much less the actual planet, you know.
I find that hard to do, to keep that in perspective. I was just thinking of you guys ever see Black Hawk Down?
Yeah.
Or the movie version.
I've been wanting to see that. I haven't seen it. Just haven't done it.
Yeah, because it's almost 20 years old now. But I was just thinking there's a scene. It's not exactly a spoiler, Father. So,
I give 2 weeks for spoilers. So,
right? Yeah. No. If anyone else listening to this who hasn't seen it, it's not absolutely essential to the plot. But there's the one scene where it's Eric Bana's character, and you know, like they're just going through this horrific battle. You know, and it's like, you know, as you watch it, you just can't even imagine going through something like that. And the one I think it was Josh Hartnett's character is really kind of down and out. And it's just weighing down on him. And Eric Bana's character just is sort of heading off. And he kind of, you know, puts his helmet on and he just yells out to him. He goes, hey, it's Monday. It's a whole new week. You know, and you're just watching this like, you know, he's heading off to go back into the fight. And it's just, I really respect, and I don't want to say envy, but I really respect and you know, like people who genuinely are able to just have that attitude just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get that more.
That's the beauty of the new year, just that, like, your situations may not change, like, the hard things you're going through may not, they're not going to go away all of a sudden, but you can have a new perspective. And I think that's the beauty of it all, is that we can look at it in a new way.
And I think a lot of success, again, going back to New Year's resolutions and all these things we've been talking about, is being willing to say, okay, I've got these issues I'm dealing with. Now let's look at them in a different perspective. Let's look at them a different way. You know, Father Michael and I, we both, you know, issues in our parish. Okay, let's stop and take a step back and let's look at them from a different perspective. Let's try to figure this out from a different way. Because you can get so often that, you know, that you're focused on doing things. Okay, we're going to do it this way. We're going to solve this problem X, Y, and Z. And why is this problem not being solved? And we keep hitting our head against the wall, where all we can do is, if we look at it a different way, we can find that solution.
Or try to be specific. I find this too. Like if I'm, I was just doing this the other day. You know, if you're, I sometimes make lists. You know, and I think that can help in terms of, you know, at the dawn of a new year. Like, oh, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about money. Well, and then it's like, well, hold on. I find this. If I can make myself stop and say, don't say that, Mike. Like, what are you worried about regarding money? Like, oh, I'm worried about this car repair. Okay, well, do you know that even has to happen yet? And like, okay, well, I guess not. Maybe it does. You know, and then you start to pick it apart. And I know that can help me a lot psychologically too. And the same thing with resolutions and you know, just the whole perspective, the whole new year. Like, how about you know, this little piece here, that piece there. Try to you know, break it down a little more.
Yeah. That's one of the best things I've learned as a priest, because there's lots of things to do. And if you try to hold them all in your head, you're going to be anxious all the time. But to lay things out on paper and see, well, this isn't an infinite, maybe it feels like it, an infinite list of things to do. Like, you just have to, one at a time. Yep. Don't panic. Mm-hmm. That's one of my sci-fi lessons, is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't panic. And
don't panic. Yeah,
nice.
Such a good lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's, you know, I wonder too, so many resolutions, they're done solely individual, you know, where a person says, well, I'm going to go to the gym and it's just me going to the gym versus, you know, maybe we need to get a group together and commit to going together to the gym, you know,
and some kind of accountability.
Yeah. I wonder how many New Year's resolutions fail because people don't reach out to their friends for accountability. You know, we're saying, you know, if you're going to say, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, well, why not have a group get together to study the Bible? Do something like, you know, the Jeff Cavins Great Adventure Bible Timeline or something like that. Or what's going to be my pick of the week is actually, you know, teaser has to do with, you know, with the Bible. It's studying the Bible. But, you know, commit with others to doing these resolutions and to have that where, hey, we're going to get on the phone, you know, once a week or, you know, every day and say, have you done this? What did you see? You know, what did you read? Or we're going to get together at 6 o'clock in the morning at the gym down the street and go work out. And, you know, we're going to do that 3 days a week. Yeah. I wonder if people look at resolutions that way of not just me doing it as resolution, but us as a group are going to do this.
Well, and along those same lines, I was just thinking too, because I've got some tabs up here, and I'll probably just share them with you later, Father. You know, I'm sure other people, if I just Googled them, I typed Catholic New Year's resolutions and stuff came up, but you know, just some ideas from other folks, and something I'm seeing on a few that I really like is you know, not just that accountability or getting a group to do something, but along the same lines, doing something as part of a New Year's resolution that at least includes to some extent some good for someone else too. And I must confess, I don't probably do that enough. I think it's more about, I hope that this behavior change or something that I'm trying to achieve will, you know, then affect others in this ambiguous way. But somebody had something good on one of these things I was just looking at saying things like, you know, take a friend to mass, you know, and maybe that's not, I'm going to take a friend to mass every day. Well, maybe I say, okay, this year, like, okay, did I take a friend to mass, or did I get over that maybe uncomfortable thing where someone's teetering on their faith? And I'm like, well, you know, if I would invite them to mass, I should do that someday. And then 2018 disappeared and I didn't do it once. Right. Well, how about maybe I say, I'm going to do that at least once this year.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like a tiny little thing, and I don't maybe put a date on it and I leave it open to maybe the inspiration of God, but I say, I commit, Lord, like, I'm going to do this,
right.
You know, you know, sometime this year. And it's for their good and that kind of thing too. So that's something I think I need to pray more about.
Sure.
Those are both great points. Just that our culture is so much about sort of like self-improvement and self-actualization, but just that idea that you don't have to do this alone and it doesn't have to be all about you. I think about in confession, the things that have helped people with struggles, especially with things like pornography and just where habitual sins is not doing it alone, to talk to somebody else, and resolutions can absolutely be that. And then just that idea that losing weight and reading more and all these things to make me happier, well, that's not really the goal of life either, is to focus on myself.
Yeah. And it's just the resolution. I guess one thing I wish with New Year's resolution is that it's something that we would do on a regular basis year round. You know, but again, doing it with groups and everything. But people aren't in the habit of making specific life goals like that. You know, they really aren't. Most people aren't. They just kind of go through life and they live their life, and they might have a goal pop up once in a while, but they don't really set their goals. And so I think that's also part of it is, you know, we're not doing it as a group. We're not doing it with accountability, and we're not used to setting goals. So, like, you know, we talked earlier about setting achievable goals. By the end of the year, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. Well, have you done anything in the past to try to lose that 100 pounds? No. Do you know that you can? Do you know that you should? You know?
I just saw another fun one that randomly came up that seemed sort of – it seemed strange to me at first. But one of them was some form of a resolution to play more. And I was thinking, you know, and it's so funny because that's a whole other topic too, with you know, our faith's you know, teaching and good Catholic philosophy on the whole idea of leisure. That's just something that blew my mind when I started hearing about it, like only a few years ago. You know, that like deliberate you know, put the devices away, you know, and to have that regular sort of just, I'm just doing something that's technically useless, mm-hmm. you know, just because, you know, it's fun. It's good for me, whatever it is.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Well, that's where I noticed, you know, in your background there, Mike, you've got some board games back there. You know.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the play areas behind me here. Yeah, so my daughter doesn't have a problem with play. I think once you hit, what, like 10, 12, you know, you start getting, you know, more fixated, you know, by these days, it seems. My sister's in middle school. Almost middle school. She's the youngest one. Okay. And, you know, you see that like the ratcheting up of the homework, and I'm not you know, saying anything bad about that, but I think we start to lose that somewhere in there. You know, just go outside and play.
Yeah, just go have
play
fun.
A game.
You know, and yeah, especially as adults, you know, we got to be productive.
Yeah,
and, you know, and when we're not productive, what do? We grab the remote control and sit in front of the TV or surf the internet or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of just going and having fun, you know, admittedly, I'm a video game fan. I don't do anywhere near as much as I do because I know if I get in a video game, there's going to be hours gone. It's just it's gone. But there's also nothing wrong with that. To have like, you know, a day off where I'm just saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be doing laundry, but I'm also going to sit here and play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You shouldn't feel guilty of that time that, like, we call it recreation, of recreating ourselves, of not worrying about what we can do, but just be there.
Exactly.
Of course, pray.
Yep.
Everybody hear that. Of course, pray.
Yeah.
But do things that build you up as a person.
Well, and we had
this particularly... we had a great Thanksgiving, but I there were some fun happenstances that sort of, you know, went down during Thanksgiving. And for whatever reason, the one day during my daughter's nap, it was a couple of days after Thanksgiving, I just sat down and drew a picture. I'm not really an artist per se. It looks caricature-y, but I basically drew like an artistic rendering. Like an encapsulation montage photo of all these crazy things that had happened with different relatives and stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
And I have no idea what made me think of it. I didn't do anything else for like 15 minutes. I sat there and drew this picture, and it was I couldn't believe how much more rewarding and important for like my soul that ended up being. When at the moment it was just a waste of time. But sometimes we need that.
Yep.
You know.
Well, it's kind of tying off what Father said. You know, we need that. Recreation time. We need that relaxing time. And that's what, by the way, Sunday is for. Sunday is a day of rest. It should be a
God's
day where you get together with your family and have a big meal. It should be a day where you go play football in the backyard or, you know, go do some activity or go for a walk. But it's also a day for Mass, for worship of the Lord. So I always try to convince people. It's like, you know, if you want to go out to the lake and go fishing, you know, we've got a reservoir near here that's actually fairly well known in this region, you know, the northwest part of the United States as a fishery, as a walleye fishery. They stock it really well with walleye. And so people come from quite a distance actually to come fish at our little reservoir out here. And so people here, of course, they've got their boats and their cabins and everything. I try to convince people going out on the lake on Sunday is a good thing. Going out and fishing on Sunday is a good thing. Take your family out. Go to the cabin, whatever. Go to Mass first. Then go to the lake.
Then go fishing.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, then maybe that is your resolution is I'm going to enjoy my day of rest, my Sunday. It's not going to be the day to mow the lawn. It's not going to be the day to clean the house. It's not going to be the day to work on the eaves or whatever. It's going to be a day of rest. But after the worship of the Lord, go to Mass, worship our Lord, then enjoy the day of rest.
And he instituted it because he knows we need to worship him and we need to rest. Like he gave us that and we just so willingly surrender it to busyness.
Exactly.
Well, and I think we fool ourselves too sometimes about how, like, and I'm not saying we're not all busy, we are, but when certain things need to be done. Mm-hmm. And I had a great priest in college who I was really getting stressed out writing my thesis. And I was in confession. I was talking about some of this stuff. And he says, he just interrupts me. He goes, "What are you doing this Sunday?" I said, "Well, yeah, I'm gonna go to Mass. And then I'm, you know," he goes, "Well, yeah, I should hope so." I was like, "Well, yeah." And I said, then I got to work on getting chapter, or I got to get this part of my thesis busted out. And I wasn't even done. And he's like, "No, you don't." And he said, what do you have to do Sunday? I was like, well, I have to get this. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, you don't. And he just kept stopping me. And it was the more he did it, first I was annoyed. And then I was like, actually, yeah, you're right. I don't have to do that then. And yeah. It was this hilarious, like, I sort of rediscovered, you know, the Sabbath, which is, like, you know, as old as creation.
Yeah.
You know, and this just, oh, wow. And then I found myself for a while, and then I have to keep improving at it, but being able to know that I applied it to other things, too, like, mm-hmm. you know, like you said for earlier, Father, about, like, the rewards, too, you know. So, yeah. Okay, I'll write, you know, 2 pages of this paper, like a Monday night or whatever, when I want to switch over to something else or play that game or watch that movie. And it's like, right. No, I'm doing that on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. You know, so mm-hmm. it's like, so I can pull an all nighter tonight or tomorrow. It doesn't matter because Thursday night's my fun. You know, like, so that kind of yeah. thing too, I think is just good psychologically and spiritually. If we can find ways to whatever, you know, we're all different. If we can find a way to fit that in, yeah. you know, in the new year, I think that's a good health thing as well.
Right. Well, in yeah. Finding that balance, you know, because admittedly, some of us, we have the challenge of being productive because we would much rather goof off, do other things, surf the internet, play video yes. games, watch TV, whatever. But finding that balance between, you know, not being a workaholic, not, you know, if I'm up, I got to be doing something. And we all know those people. I'm not one of them. This is not my problem. Who, if they're not doing something, they go nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're not cleaning house or baking or working on this or doing that, or if their hands aren't mm-hmm. busy, they just go nuts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for someone like that, learning how to rest. But in the same way, you know, for those who maybe are a bit more lazy like me, learning that balance of, okay, I do this productive stuff. I do this work I need to do, because then tonight I'm going to load up a video game, or I'm going to, you know, go and watch a movie or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I had that problem of being too productive.
Yeah. I definitely don't either. Unfortunately.
I tend to be a little more, you know, a little more on your guys' side of the line, probably. I was thinking of a few people in my family and my friends that I almost said out loud, and I'm recusing myself. But let's just say I've thought of a few people right off the bat.
Yeah.
Probably wise.
Well, we've got kind of that, you know, the stereotypical American work ethic that we kind of say, well, this is what it should look like. You basically work yourself to exhaustion throughout the week. So then you sleep all weekend to repeat the next week, you know, and then that's obviously a little bit extreme too, but we do need that time of rest. You know, we do, you know, I was just thinking, you know, when you look at talking about the Sabbath and the rules of the Sabbath and everything. Well, there's also the Jubilee year where they were to leave the fields fallow. They were not to plant. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, I live in very much farming community, very much rural area, farming and ranching. And of course, what do? They have summer fallow. They have fields that they rotate their fields. And every couple of years, that field just doesn't get planted. So that the nutrients can get re-nourished, more nutrients can get back into the soil. So then it's more productive again in a few years, you know. And so, you know, the wisdom of that is just is that that's good naturally for the soil. We need that relaxing, like, vacation time. I'm going to be on vacation here this next week. So when this podcast comes out, I'm going to be on vacation visiting my family, you know, things like that. You know, we need that time to just get away and, you know, recommit to the problem. So, but yeah, it's the New Year's resolutions are, you know, upon us, and of course, and everybody's going to be thinking about that. And, you know, just kind of going to take a break here now, a good time to do that. And if, you know, for your New Year's resolution, I would encourage people to consider giving to SQPN. Of course, you know, we've had our giving campaign. By the time you hear this, we're going to be at the end of it. It's going to end at the year. But that doesn't mean you still can't give to SQPN. If you go to SQPN.com, you can follow the links there of different ways that you can give to us. We encourage you to do that. Even though the giving campaign is over, we still need your help. We still need your support. So please do look at that, including our Patreon. Our Patreon will still be there. And people can commit to helping us every month that way. We'll, you know, and to keep these shows going. You know, we enjoy giving these shows, but we do need help financially to keep them running. So I encourage you to do that. Also, again, check out our podcasts that we do have going on. We've got a bunch of podcasts that we've started, a bunch that are getting ready to start. We're going to be doing a technology podcast here in a little bit. I'll be on that with a couple others. I think, Father Michael, you're going to be helping out with that as well occasionally.
Yes, yeah.
So that'll be fun to be a part of. We've got, of course, Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who ongoing. Star Trek Discovery is going to be starting here shortly. So we'll be talking about that, the good, bad, and the ugly about that. Doctor Who, as again, this will be released on New Year's. Well, there will be a New Year's episode of Doctor Who. So tomorrow, hopefully, we will have a new episode of Secrets of Doctor Who for you to listen to and other podcasts. Please do check those out. Please share our podcasts. You can go to iTunes and, review our podcast. Give us full stars, you know, on that, you know, that you really like our podcast, you think it's great and people should listen to it, and to let others know about what we're doing here at SQPN, because ultimately what we're doing here is about sharing the gospel. It's about, you know, bringing faith in the culture together. So yes, we do talk about Doctor Who, we do talk about Star Trek, we do talk about New Year's resolution, but to do that in a way that brings us back to Christ and the faith that he has given us, to bring the gospel to Christ through talking about our faith, our culture. So please do share our message and share the podcast that we have, so others can hear what we have to say and join in the conversation. So before we go into the picks week, do either of you have anything else you want to say about New Year's resolution, everything we've been talking about?
I was just thinking from what Father Michael said earlier, just one more little anecdote or analogy on the importance again of something that's paced, you know, and to kind of have that moderation as we approach and not bite off more than we can chew. And I made a note here. When I was in the Army, I always loved land navigation. Mm. And you'd get your points down and everything, and you'd go out with your compass. And, if you're going 1,000 kilometers, mm-hmm. Or 1,000 meters, geez.
1,000 meters, that's a long way.
Yeah, that's a long way. Yeah, if you're going 1 kilometer, 1,000 meters through the woods, and you're off by 1 degree, you know, on your azimuth, just 1 degree, you know, is going to be the difference of, I think it's about, 100 meters by the time you get where you're going, left or right. And that's why, you know, they'll teach you very practically that as you're going straight through, if you go around one tree, if you go around the left side of it, try to remember to go around the right of the next tree.
Right.
You know, so you kind of, you don't just tend to, you know, fade or whatever it is. And and I think that's important. I know in my own examples of things I could point to with New Year's resolutions for me, it is. It's a day-by-day thing, and I think the more we can make sure we're biting off just the right amount, mm-hmm. you know, we'll be able to kind of pace ourselves that way and be more on target at the end of it.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
I would just add, the purpose of life is to love God and love our neighbors. And mm-hmm. you may be a few pounds overweight. You may not be perfectly productive. But if you're doing those things, you're successful. And having any resolutions that help us do that, that's going to get us where we want to be, and ultimately happy in our own lives as well.
Exactly.
More so than thinking we have to meet some standard that we've invented for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So love God and love the people he's put in your life, and you're doing the right thing. It'll be a good year.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's ultimately what it is all about. So, well, very good. Very good conversation on that. And now we'll switch over to our picks of the week. Mike, would you like to go first and share what you've picked?
Yeah, and it's I'm sure no one's expecting this in one way, but my pick of the week is Star Wars socks. And by way of quick, this is just ridiculous maybe, but I'm loving that my wife got me this box. I don't know where she got it. It's 12 days it's 12 days of Christmas. 12 days of Star Wars socks.
That's awesome.
And my birthday is on January 5th, which is, you know, always the 12th day of Christmas. Mm-hmm. So she found this hilarious thing. So every day I'm going to the tree, and underneath I'm opening up another, you know, wrapped package, whatever the socks are for the day. So today it's Darth Vader. It was Yoda yesterday.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Enjoyable.
That's a great gift.
I like that. That's kind of continuing the advent calendar theme into Christmas.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, and to be fair, she, I think the final straw for her for making the decision to do it was she was getting frustrated with how many times I was throwing a black sock here or there away because there's a huge hole.
Oh, yes.
She's like, just get new socks. I'm like, well, I will eventually. No, so yeah. She did it.
We no guy ever does that. Yeah, right. Oh, wait, I'm down to, you know, like three pairs and they kind of sort of match. Yeah, it might be time.
So basic.
How about you, Father Michael? What you got for a pick?
I would pick after Christmas, my brother and some cousins, we went and saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the new animated Spider-Man movie. And I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen an animated movie in the theater. It had been a very, very long time. This one blew me away. It is a super well-done movie. It's funny. It references lots of little superhero things. It makes fun of some great moments in the old Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire. It's just really fresh and interesting, really energetic sort of hip-hop soundtrack. And, yeah, I loved it. I went and saw it again with some other friends.
Nice.
I liked it so much. So it may not be something that everybody thinks, this is for me. A friend of mine was like, that's a cartoon, right? But it's a really good one, and it was a movie I came out of it just happy and just, you know, refreshed and seen something really fun.
Oh, yeah, I've heard good reviews of it, so that's I'm kind of interested in seeing it as well. Unfortunately, I live in, you know, as I said, I live in a small town, and we've got like one screen theater that only shows, you know, one movie 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Ralph Wrecks the Internet is here this weekend. So, you know, which I want to see because I like the original Wreck-It Ralph. Mm-hmm. But
it's like a military post theater.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, I'm an Air Force vet, so I understand that completely. You know, and unfortunately, we generally get movies about a month or two after they've kind of had their premium run. Mm-hmm. So it's a while before we get to see our movies. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one because it sounds like it's really, really good. I've heard good reviews on that one. Excellent. Well, my pick actually ties in with our theme, sort of. So this is actually a pick I've done back at when we had Catholic Weekend, but I'm recycling this pick because we haven't done it with Let's Talk. But my pick is the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. You know, Scott Hahn's involved that. Kurtz Mitch also at Steubenville, Franciscan University. Mm-hmm. Since we got two connections to Steubenville there, they're both familiar people up there. But it's just an excellent study Bible. If you're planning on doing a Bible of the Year, or you're committing to studying the Bible, it's a great study Bible for just reading passages, because the way they write it is so simple. As you've got a passage, and then their explanation of it, the commentary on it follow, and it's just a very clear text. The commentary is simple, but that's what it's designed to be. It's not designed to be, a very in-depth mega study of the Bible. It's meant to be just to understand the scriptures, to understand these passages that sometimes can be very complex. You know, there's deep layers in them and meanings, and, you know, and it's just a very, it's a nice setup. I especially like it because the way it does it is the top section is the Bible passages, the actual scripture, and then the bottom section is the commentary. So it's all on one page. You just you read the passage and you look down and there's the explanation of it. Mm-hmm. I also like it because unlike some study Bibles that are out there, it's much more faithful to the traditions of the church. There are, when you're reading study Bibles and commentaries, you have to be very careful. Because there are some that have been very popular. I'll name one by name, the Little Rock Bible Study. You know, that's been out there since the 70s. It's got some very questionable theology in places. You know, I'm not a fan of it at all, as you can tell. Yeah. This doesn't have that. And, you know, one of those things, and I know Jimmy Akin, you know, of course, you know, got Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, and we're on the Secrets of podcast together. He would agree with me on this. One of the things that you can tell if the quality of the Bible commentary is, how do they date the scriptures themselves? You know, right. When was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John written? That's your first question. And I, you know, of course, those who have followed Scott Hahn and know his writing, he is a much earlier when it comes to that question. He doesn't date all the scriptures after the year 70 AD. You know, he says some of them were written before the temple fell, and John was written before the year 100, and some, you know, as you know, as early as late 80s, early 90s AD. You know, and that's a good indicator of whether or not this is much more faithful, because that is a much more traditional view on when the scriptures were written. You know, so I recommend this commentary. It really, or this Bible study, it really is good for just a basic understanding of the scriptures. So, and right now they've got the New Testament. You can get the nice big bound New Testament. I've got the nice leather one, of course. You had to get it. It's worth spending the money on. And they are working on the Old Testament books. You can get the little individual booklets for the Old Testament. Eventually they'll have the same set for the Old Testament. So that's my pick of the week.
I use that on a weekly basis, I think. That's such a good study Bible.
Yeah. Well, it's especially for us for doing homily prep, you know, things like this are so essential. You know, and I've got other commentaries as well that I use. I tend to collect commentaries, I think. I just collect books, but especially commentaries. But this is a good one for just a quick, but this is just a good one for a quick, pick it up, read it, and get kind of an understanding. So Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, New Testament, you can get the big book. Old Testament, you can get the small books, or just wait till they get the big book done here. And I think a couple of years, I don't think they're that far off from finishing up the entire series. So, well, excellent. Thank you both for coming on. This has been, this has been a lot of fun. Mike, where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
If they're that crazy, no, they can check out, my website is, thegraciousguest.org. It's a reference to, Ephesians 3 verse 17, this whole idea of trying to be a humble and gracious guest in God's world. So that's where I do some of my podcasting and writing and that kind of stuff over there. Nice. So that's a good place to check.
And Father Michael, where can people find you?
Yeah, my site where I try to always do it, but it doesn't happen all the time. But my text of my homilies on there is FatherMichaelG.com, FRMichaelG.com, and then just Father Mike Gossett on Twitter.
Excellent. Excellent. And you can find me at my site where I post my homilies. I record my homilies, but I post my homilies at frcorey.org. And you can find me on Facebook. Father Corey Stika is my page. I've got Fr. Corey Stika as my Twitter handle. And of course, you can find me on Secrets of Star Trek, Secrets of Doctor Who, and here at Let's Talk. If you would like to leave feedback for this episode or any episode of Let's Talk, please do. We want to hear from you. We really do appreciate feedback. Let's Talk without an apostrophe at sqpn.com. And once again, please do consider a donation with this new year to SQPN at sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.